Okay, I'm going to have some morning exercise with you. All of you stand up. Let's do some stretching. Okay, I don't care how you stretch, you just stretch. You know, it's good to stretch, right? Just swing your body this way or that way. Have some deep breathing, you know what I mean? Or bend down if you wish. Or shake a little bit. Okay? Let's call on the Lord three times together. Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Okay, all right. So that is the physical exercise. Now comes the mental exercise. The mental exercise is this. By the time when this conference is over this afternoon, I challenge every one of you that you will have Psalm 92, 12 to 14 memorized. Now, none of you say, oh, I'm too old. Well, remember, you should minus your current physical age by 20. That's your real age. This morning, I saw it coming in, a brother over there at the table helping with the registration. He was leaping towards me. She said, brother, I am 70 or 71 in my physical age, but after last night, I found out I am just 50. And he said it with great conviction, and I just celebrated with him. I almost high-fived with him. I believe it. I believe it. Why not? Why not? You know, you can be 70 and act like a 90-year-old. Now, the brain works like this, and I'm not no neurosurgeon or anything, but I know a little bit about the brain because I got one, and it's not working as well as some years ago. But I know one thing, that the less you use it, the more it turns into cottage cheese, right? So the way, just like your body, even last night I saw an article that... they have this great discovery, and that is exercise actually slows down your aging. Whoa, what a discovery. Well, I've always known that, right? Older saints, exercise, physical exercise. Do what I do. Well, you shouldn't do what I do. My exercise is rather rigorous, but you swim, you walk. Walking, actually, you don't have to run. By the way, running is not good for your joints. You pound those pavements, but you can walk. If you do brisk walking, that's as good. You give your heart as good as a workout as running, whereas running has some side effects that is not so good. So get out there, get off your couch, and do some exercise every day. Amen. And I'm going to talk today about twos or threes. Actually, the twos or threes can quite likely become exercise companions. I mean, physical exercise companions. Not bad. Not bad. We're made tripartite. We're not a spirit. We're not spirit and soul. We've got a body, and the body is what contains our spirit and soul. And if your body deteriorated, your spirit and soul will have nowhere to go, right? That's death. That's the meaning of death. Okay, so exercise your mind. The more you use your mind, the more your mind will be kept up and used and oiled. That's the only way I know. That's the only way I know. The more you use it, the more it will go kaput. Okay, so today, this is my assignment, and I believe every one of you can do it. Even though we have lost some of our short-term memory and all of that, forget about at least memorize. Okay, let's read together. Well, maybe you even don't have the verse. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of Jehovah. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bring forth fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and green. Okay, just read it a few times. Just get some of those key words and then start memorizing it. Just force your brain. Force this brain to memorize it. Just memorize it. Okay? Yeah, you're doing it right now, right? Just like stretching, just like doing. Okay. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of Jehovah, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bring forth fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and reed. Okay. All right. Of course, I will not give a test to you right now, but if some of you got it, I'd like to hear you memorize it. Anyone dare to accept the challenge? It's okay. If you're not, okay, because I didn't get it memorized. But how about by next meeting? We got a 30-minute break. That 30 minutes, don't just go and drink some coffee and use your brain in those 30 minutes. And when we come back in the second session, we'll all try to memorize it. And you, if you cannot do it, you can ad-lib, you can fake it. I don't care. Just try, okay? Just try. Don't give up. Never give up. All right, today I've got a lot to talk about, a huge, big matter related to our practice. But before we get there, I must say a few words first. As a follow-up from evening, based on even these verses, we are memorizing. Brothers and sisters, this is a very, very beautiful, indeed, I would say, exhilarating picture. Describing old folks, old people. But these are not just old people. These are old righteous people. Right? Old righteous people. If you're from the 50s, 60s, you know the righteous brothers. You know what I mean? These are for the old folks, right? So we are the real righteous brothers. Amen, Rich? Okay. So the righteous man, they will flourish palm tree. Now, when you read the word, don't just read it and, yeah, these are poetic, these are nice. No, no. It's the word of God. You've got to believe it. You've got to chew on it. You've got to digest it and become it, you see. So a righteous man, when you read this verses, you just don't preach the righteous man will flourish. You have to say, Lord, I am a righteous man. Amen. Or make me more righteous. Make me flourish like a palm tree. Lord, I like to flourish. I like to flourish. You know what flourish means? Did you check your dictionary this morning? Flourish means something thriving. You know, like a plant that is just absolutely taking over. You know, like weeds, you know, like these quick growth, high growth vines or trees. They are just thriving. You see the picture? Thriving, like these kind of accelerated movies that can compress, you know, 5 years into 5 minutes, you know. They are, you know, that's thriving, thriving. And not just thriving, let's say you have a business, it's a flourishing business. That means what? It's prosperous. You know what I mean? You're making money. Prosperous. You're successful. Flourishing is a luxuriant growth. You know, it is a it denotes energy, great energy. It means something full of vigor, filled with vigor. It implies a lot of activities. activity. So flourish has that meaning. It's not just a little flourish, you know, a little word. It means all of these things. And here we're talking about palm trees flourishing. And can you imagine yourself, image yourself as that palm tree in the church life, just flourishing? Just flourishing? We should be that way. I want to be that way. And I would pray that I will be that way. And all of you would be like that. So make this verse subjective to you. Don't pray read for somebody else. He will grow like a cedar. I mean, this means woo. It's like grow like a cedar. I mean, it's reaching for the skies. You know, the sky is the limit, as they say. Some of us put too much and too early limitation on ourselves. You didn't achieve your goals because you set your goals too low. You know, even the Air Force, they say, aim high, you know. That's their ad, you know, to get more recruits. We're shooting with the resurrected and ascended life of Christ, like a cedar in Lebanon. We're aiming for the heavens, aren't you? I don't mean to go to heaven. I mean aiming for the heavens. That's where, that means aim towards God. Planted in the house of Jehovah, of course, we talk about it, they will flourish. Another time the word is used again. I mean, surely the poet here, or the psalmist here, intends to impress. Flourish. Flourish in the courts of our God. It's time a lot of old saints flourish everywhere. Everywhere we turn, it's not brown, it's all green. Amen? I might be even on a walker, but I'm flourishing. They will still bring forth fruit in the old age. You have to claim this. Brothers and sisters, you have to claim this. If Elizabeth can have John the Baptist at 60 years old or whatever, if Sarah can have a child, Isaac, at age what? 90? Goodness, I should have a few kids today. So still bring forth fruit in old age. You just pray this. We defy all the laws of this physical universe. Because another law operates in us. It's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That life is Zoe life, eternal life. So that even at age 90, we still bear children. We still bear fruit. That should be. I want to put faith into you. Don't quit. Don't just quit so quickly and easily. Okay. They will be full of sap and green. I mean, we should be full of just full of fatness, full of the riches of the divine life within us. Green means new growth. Greens means young, am I right? Not old. So all of these adjectives, all this description should aptly apply to us, not those young people over there, but absolutely to us according to Psalm 92. All right? So not just comprehend these verses, apprehend it. Apprehend it. Make it yours. Claim it. I really mean, you know, when you pray to the Lord, pray this. I don't think this is selfish. Lord, for your church, for the church life, make me this. All right. Of course, at the same time, I would like to, I want to give you three O's. O. That means the alphabet O. Three O's as in adjective form. Now, as a kind of on the negative side. On the negative side. In other words, watch out, okay? Watch out for these three O's. These three O's is what going to kill us. What is going to make us not green but brown. It's going to make us not full of sap but dried up. It's going to make us not flourish but what? Huh? Decline, to be in decline, to degenerate. These three O's. Now, there may be other O's you can think about. This is the three O's that came to me, especially to us. Number one, obvious. You guessed already, old. Now, I'm old age. I'm glorifying old age in 92. But here I'm going to tell you oldness or being old is a huge problem. Now, oldness among us, our age group, comes from a lot of places. I tell you, the first thing is when you don't live by the Lord's life, by the divine life, you still live in your natural life, in your natural man, in your flesh, in yourself. You know what I mean? You are automatically old. You can be 20 years old, you are 20 years old. And for us who are physically older, that is a real problem. Real problem. So, brothers and sisters, let us just, it's about time, you know. Brother Ron Kengis about talking about getting to the third stage or fourth stage. It's about time, brothers and sisters, just give up on those flesh, give up on the self, give up on these natural men. They've been hanging around with us for way too long, you know. It says what? Put off the old man. The whole old man include all this stuff. Just put him off like, you know, the footnote says, like a garment. You know, I have this garment, this is old man. Let's just put him off. Put him off. Every day you get up, you just put him off. Sympathize with these ugly trinity, unholy trinity of self and the flesh and the natural man. He should be banished. He should be taken off and discarded. Don't even give him to Goodwill. Just burn it. All right? So that is a source of oldness. And then I'll tell you what other things that makes you old. It's what Ephesians calls spots and wrinkles. You know, spots and wrinkles clearly indicate some old features, right? Features of an old person are spots. Look at me. That's what I have. And some of you have more wrinkles than I do. But spots and wrinkles are the problems in the church life. And they come a lot from us older people. And whether these things come from, I mentioned the natural life already. That's where the spots come from, you know. But sometimes the spots come from what? They come from wounds, old wounds, cuts. You know, brothers and sisters, after a while in the church life, we accumulate a whole backlog of history. Church life history. With this person, with that person. You know what I mean? 50 years ago, he done me wrong, you know. 50 years later, I still remember it. That's a huge, big spot. Huge. Or 30 years ago, she hurt me. She mistreated me. She wronged me. And I still remember it very, very vividly and clearly. I tell you, that is the spot, okay? These spots and these wrinkles of obviously comes from just the kind of oldness that I just described. But I concentrate on spots, and that is what? Unforgiven offenses. You know, old people, that's the problem. It's hard for them to forgive, hard for them to let go. Some of them wait till their deathbed and say, all right, I'll forgive. You got only 2 minutes to live, but it's a little late, you know what I mean? And I tell you, when you don't forgive people, it's like you drinking your own poison. Do you understand what I'm saying? It seems like that person is not forgiven by you. Actually, by not forgiving, you are drinking poison. It actually hurts you. It actually shortens your life. It actually to cause you to have a poor psychology by not forgiving, by not letting go. And we are experts in this, old folks. We are experts in not forgiving. So history, offenses, and all these things, I beg you, brothers and sisters, let go. Just let go. Just forgive. It's been so long. You know, even God has forgotten and you still hold on to it. There's something wrong. We should not have greater memory than God. God said, I have forgiven. That means I have forgotten. Your sins and trespasses, I will remember no more. How about acquiring God, the divine forgiveness or the divine forgetfulness? And a lot of times it's pride. Let it go, brothers and sisters, so you will not have these spots or wrinkles. Okay, so oldness. Have a new beginning. Flip over the page. Let's have a new beginning. And I hope this weekend many of us can really have a kind of new beginning. The second O, guess what? Guess what it is? Obstinate. I tell you, old people, obstinate. You know what obstinate means? It means just difficult. You know, old people, they are just difficult. You make him an egg, it's too hard. Then you make him another one, it's too soft. You know what I'm saying? Just grumpy and difficult. But obstinate is more than that. Obstinate means you are inflexible. You have lost your flexibility. You know, your joints have hardened. Your muscles have shrunk. And you have lost your flexibility. You cannot bend. You cannot go along. You are intransigent, you know, with your way. It must be my way, this way. I've been doing it for 60 years. I ain't going to change. It's called stubbornness. Stubbornness are very, very related to old people. Even I found myself getting more stubborn. My preference. Sometimes this itty-bitty little preference, I get so stubborn about it. That's a sign of oldness. Being obstinate. Well, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's try to get rid of these. Every day you need to do, actually we need to do a lot of stretching. But by the way, let me just tell you physically, don't just start stretching. It's you pull your muscles. Do some warm up first. Do some exercise first, a little walking, a few jumping jacks or whatever. You warm up first before you stretch your muscles. Otherwise you can tear your muscles, okay? All right, that's in the physical realm. I'm talking about still every day, get yourself pliable. Get yourself what? Flexible, right? This is part of being youthful. And so you won't be that difficult of a person. You'll be not that kind of stubborn a kind of a person. Okay, the third O. Anyone? Opinionated. My goodness, this is a killer, all right? Opinionated. Now, isn't that also quite associated with an old person, right? Opinions. My, it comes with seniority, you know? It's time for me to pontificate on my views. I have accumulated a lifelong experience of many things. So it's time for me to dispense them. It's called opinions. Some even have opinion about the Bible. They have an opinion about a verse. I've seen that. Some dear old brothers. It's actually all in their opinions. I, not frequently, from time to time, receive a big stacks of manuscript, handwritten, in my case, in Chinese and sometimes in English. Some even send it to me from Taiwan. I get this big thing passed on to me. I said, whoa, what is this? I open up, I pull it out. It's a manuscript of these, you know, these Chinese the pages with boxes, you fill in them, you write in them. I mean, page after page after page after page. My, I say, is this someone copied the life studies and gave it to me? No, upon further reading, it was this man's probably sitting in there with nothing to do and just writing all these things that are hard to decipher, semi-spiritual, semi-prophetic. And at the end, I put it down. I say, this is just opinions, biblical opinions. And I sometimes receive English, a whole page after page of their critique of the church life. You know what I mean? Oh, I tell you, brothers and sisters, opinion kills. Opinion kills. Please go and get this book called Perfecting Training. There will be a number of chapters on nothing but opinions. It is one of the ultimate manifestation of the self. Expression of the self is opinion. So I just give you these three O's. There are other things, but I think these three O's pretty much covers all the problems. What are the three O's again? Number one? Old. Just old. Right? These are adjectives. Number two?
Obstinate.
Three? Opinion. So instead of these things, let us be those simple little plants. Right? Growing in the courts of the Lord. Let us be the most positive factor in the church life. Okay, now, I don't have that much time. I must get on to this morning's burden. This morning's burden is very simple. It is the biblical practice of twos or threes. The biblical practice of twos or threes. And I would just add this word in the church life. The biblical or the scriptural practice of twos or threes in the church life. So that would be the subject this morning. So I have us read these verses from Matthew. And I would, before I get into this Matthew, I would like to, again, like last night, take you on a very, very quick tour of the Bible. How to convince you again how this number or these numbers, twos and threes, are indeed frequently used. And I would actually, I personally believe they are like many numbers with meaning in the Bible, quite divinely inspired. In other words, they are not accidental numbers. They're not accidental numbers. I gave a message in Mountain View 2 weeks ago. Am I right, Jacob?
Yes.
2 weeks, whenever, ago. And I also spoke something, I don't know, to the young working saints. But today, forget about that. I'm speaking to you, all right, in a fresh way. All right. So let's start with God. God. You know, in Genesis, it says what? Let what? Yeah. God had a council. God talked to himself. Of course, clearly implying the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Isn't it interesting that God is three, yet one? It's one, but three. Now, I'm not going to get into the whys. I'm just stating the fact. God is three. Even God likes to hang out with himself, to have a discussion, a council with himself. God is three. God is three. All right? Just to give an idea. And then God made man. He made what? It says he made man. But then it says what? Male and female, he created them. God never actually made one man. He made two. Male and female. Of course, in the eyes of God, it's one because the female came out of the male. You know, you remember the story, the rib and so forth. But the fact of the matter, it takes two, not to tango. It takes two to work out the purpose and intention of this 3-1 God. There's a 2-1 man and a 3-1 God in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Now again, I'm not going to get into why. I'm just telling you that's the fact. Two. So, the individual, you may say, is not according to God. It's God is singular. God is one. I understand that, right? Eventually, there will be a one new man. But even that one new man is a corporate entity. I want this morning, first of all, brothers and sisters, you will put aside the thought of singular or the individual and not to glorify that. You know, this country glorifies, you know, the U.S., the rugged individual. You know John Wayne, you know. The rugged individual. No, no. You know the superhero. No, banish all of that. Let us look at the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. So I'm not going to be exhaustive about this. I'm just going to just make some citations. Another case, another pretty big deal, and that is both in the Old Testament. You go and look at Deuteronomy, you go and read Matthew, you go and read 1 Timothy, you go and find it with your concordance. It talks about out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. There's no witness with one. Am I right? You need at least two to corroborate. Even in the court, just one person is not enough. You need more than one as witnesses. Out of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Two or three. It's consistent, Old and New Testament, even in what we read this morning in Matthew 18. There's strength. There's a testimony with at least two. And better three. You know, the American or whatever English slogan, you know, two is companion, three is a crowd. Have you heard that? That somewhat says three is no good. You know, three is too many. Let's keep it at two. But this morning, I would not say this. I say two is good and three is great. This is the We see this in the Bible. Now, another example. You remember the three mighty men of David? You know, this is in Samuel, 1 Samuel. There's a whole chapter that talk about the mighty men of David. There are 30, there's number 30. There's also specifically the number 3. Three mighty men of David. You remember David was thirsty. David was thirsty. And he said, oh, I wish I can get a drink. You know, that is actually referred to in Psalms 110. 110, referring to Christ needing to be refreshed by a drink because David was a type of Christ. So David, I wish. And I tell you, he just had this little wish. And three of his mighty men cut their way through the Philistine lines all the way to Bethlehem, the city of David. And at the well, got the water and cut their way back through the Philistines' camps to David for David to drink. And you know what happened? David poured it all on the ground and said, I cannot drink this. This is the blood of these men. It's not one man, some superhero doing this. It's three. Even mighty men, you need three. Don't be the lone ranger. Three. You say, why three? Well, to me, it's very simple. Someone has to carry the bucket, and they have to kill people. You know what I mean? It's hard to kill people when you're holding a bucket, you know? I believe at least one of those mighty men was carrying the water, and two of them were fighting next to them. Don't you think that's logical? Logical. Well, you see, right away you see coordination in effect. You see teamwork in effect. You see the mutuality in effect, in operation, just in this Old Testament case, just one case. Now let's come to the New Testament. Actually, I miss a lot of many cases of twos and threes in the Bible, right? In the New Testament, we also have three mighty men. You know who they are? It's Peter, James, and John. At least in three instances, the Lord Jesus, you know, the Lord Jesus had 12 disciples. That is what I call the Lord Jesus small group. Actually, there are 13, including the Lord. So there are 13. One of them is rotten, but still there are 13. That is a small group. But within that small group, there are twos and threes. And in this case, particularly mentioned are Peter, James, and John. Peter and the two sons of thunder, two brothers. In Matthew, in Mark chapter 5, it talks about the Lord raising the little girl. You know, who is the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue, and the Lord kept everyone out, including the disciples, and only brought these three with him into the house to raise the dead. I don't know why, but it's very interesting. And then you have the case in Matthew 17, the Lord, after chapter 16, unveil him the vision of the revelation of Christ and the church at Caesarea Philippi, which is at the border of Judea and Samaria or something, far away from Jerusalem. That's where we can see the visions. And right away in chapter 17, he brought them up high to probably Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon. And there he transfigured himself. Who was there? Only these three. Only these three. Then, in Matthew 26, in another scene, this is time at the Garden of Gethsemane. Before the Lord was betrayed and crucified, you can find this in Matthew 26, he brought the three with them to pray in the garden. Why? I'm not going to get there. I'm just talking to you about the fact. 3. There must be something important about 3. That number has its usefulness, has its reason. It's not accidental. All right? I hope you are convinced. Now, how about 2? You say, you just cited 3. I'm going to give you some 2s. Well, at least 1. The Lord commissioned 70 apostles, you can send, and send them to the villages. You remember that? How did he send them? Not as a horde of 70. He sent them in 35 pairs of what? 2 by 2. Why? Why? There's a reason. You know, I remember in the door-knocking days in the 80s in Taiwan, Brother Lee must have been inspired by this. Every door-knocking team is 3. Remember that? At least 2, but 3. I still remember he say, you know, 1 can be at the door, 2 can be praying, or there's always a female there, a sister there, just in case. Sometimes a blend of old and young. Whatever the point is it takes 2 or 3. Even today, the Mormons are 2 by 2. Scriptural. Well, I hope this is, from a case study standpoint, is convincing to you. Now, I'm going to use a particular passage, and that is the book of Ecclesiastes, very famous passage, and that is in chapter 4 of this book. Ecclesiastes, before Song of Songs. Here in chapter 4, the king, the one who wrote this, Solomon probably, wrote all these words of wisdom and so on. So here we go, in verse 9 through 12. Listen, 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labor. Somehow the verses before preceding this say, one alone without a second is just simply not good. And then he's turned around and says 2 is better than 1 because they have a good reward for their labor. I don't know how that works. 10, verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up. Plain to see. Why 2? Why 2? Because you need a buddy. You need someone to have your back. Am I right? Right. This is very, very logical. You're going to fall. There will be a moment of weakness. But woe are you if you're all alone and make that fall. Without someone to pick you up. It's a woe. It's a curse to be alone. We need a companion. 11, again, if 2 lie together, they keep warm. But how can 1 be warm alone? Impossible. Verse 12, and while a man may prevail against the 1, the 2 will withstand him, and a 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. Now you've got 3 introduced. Look at this passage. So here, there is talking about labor. There's talking about weakness or failure. There's discussion about getting warm or staying warm. And there's also talk about what? A battle. In a fight. In all these cases, 2 is better than 1. And a 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. You know, the way you make ropes are always by intertwining cords. The cords by themselves may not be that strong, but when you intertwine them, their strength goes exponential. The power, the strength is in the twos and threes. I hope you get it. Now, with all of that, we're ready to come to this chapter 18 of Matthew. Let me give you some background first. The Lord Jesus revealed his church in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, I will build my church. That church, needless to say, is the universal church, the one church of God and of Christ. Then two chapters later, in chapter 18, there was a second mentioning of the church. However, in this chapter, the mentioning of the church does not refer to the universal body of Christ, but rather to a local church. In other words, chapter 16 is the revelation or the vision of the church. And whereas Matthew 18, it concerns the practice of the church. So have in your mind practice. We're talking about church practice. How do we practice the church life? Let's listen to the Lord's words. This is even pre-Paul, pre-apostles. It's the Lord himself speaking certain principle about practicing the church life. And we read the main verses this morning on that practice. Now, there are many points related to that, but I'm going to interweave all those points into the context, the master context here of your, you got it, twos or threes. Do you know how many times twos or threes are mentioned in these few verses? In these six verses, five to six verses? I think, what? Three, four times. Three, four times. Okay, let's take a look. I'm going to divide these six verses into three sections. First of all, section number one is 15 through 17. Here we see a brother who sinned against you, or who sinned against another brother. And we're told that this brother who is being sinned against or offended should just go and reprove that sinning brother just one-on-one. Well, because for covering in love, we practice this in the church life. But then if that person refused to hear, to listen, then it says what? Now, this is important. Take with you one or two more. Now, this is interesting. One or two more, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. This is not just the word from the sinning brother. These are even words from these two or three. With two or three speaking, there's a power of witnessing. Are you following me? So now it's not one man trying to help a brother, a sinful brother. It is two or three together trying to restore such a one. You know, I didn't mention this, Jacob, but I was looking at this passage again before this. The Lord was talking about the 99 sheep. Am I right? And then you would leave the 99. This is like in Luke 15, right? And go and seek the one that has gone astray. Somewhat setting the scene here, that here is a picture of lamb seeking, of ones that have gone astray. And I would like to say, in that sense, This applies not only to a brother who had sinned against another member of the body. In principle, this applies to a sinner, a lost sheep, an unbeliever, someone that needs rescue. And surely it will include a saint who are not in a sinful condition, who needs to be restored, recovered. A sinner or saint, regardless, we're talking about how to regain, how to save, how to rescue someone who is in need. How? Twos and threes. It may start with one-on-one. It may start with one-on-one many times. But eventually, you need twos or threes to regain a brother. I would even say to save a sinner. So here I establish the purpose of two or three. Why? What is the purpose? The purpose of two or three is to practically accomplish God's intention, God's heart's desire. Numerically speaking, the way even God is three is because economically he is three. Where essentially he is one, but in order to accomplish his economy, he is three. You understand this? It is three, two or three are for operation. It is not for just survival or existence. It is for carrying out something, for execution, for carrying out the work of the Lord. And in our case, we're talking about serving the Lord in the church life, right? We're talking about preaching the gospel. We're talking about gaining people. We're talking about shepherding the saints. All this work that we do operationally, two or three is the right number. Now let's go on to the second section. Of course, it says if the two or three refuses, if the sinner refuses to listen, tell it to the church, showing us very clearly two or three is not the church, right? Two or three is not the church. And if he doesn't listen, you have to treat him like a Gentile tax collector. It's a very serious thing. You know, for me to reject Birch, he comes to me, he's not so serious. But if Birch brings one or two, and I reject that, that begins to touch the government. Yeah. No, I'm not exaggerating. It says, well, not yet. The church is the government. But I'm saying you are you're edging towards that realm by rejecting the two or three. There's something of authority here related to or three that is not with one. Okay. All right. Then I go to the second section, and that is 18 and 19. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven, related to this sinful brother. This is not some prayer to bind the devil, like we all typically use this verse for, to bind Satan. It is. No, this actually in context is to bind that sinful one. Or release this, or loose this sinful one. Now in that context it says in verse 19, and of course binding and loosing refers or relates to prayer. Prayer. So verse 19 again, truly I say to you, if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. How many are praying here? He's talking about asking, binding and loosing. So it's talking about prayer. How many? Two. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, one person praying is needful. We all should pray. We all should have a prayer life, individually, personally, with the Lord, no doubt. But when it comes to prayer that has the power to bind and to loose, and that's what I mean by governmental exercise of the Lord's authority, you need at least two. It's not just for witnessing, testifying, speaking. It is for what? For speaking to God in prayer. It's not just for dealing with man, but even to deal with God. God somehow wants to listen to at least two, and not just one. And so these two must be in full harmony, of course, like a symphony, in one accord, in order for their prayers to be heard by the Father who is in the heavens. But I'd like to impress upon you the practice of the church life is in twos and threes going to contact the needy people, sinner and saints. The church life is also in two and three, or three, praying. This is not Tuesday night prayer meeting. That's the church prayer meeting. This is on a daily basis, in all places, at all times, two or three praying concerning the needs in the church. Do you get this? And then finally, in verse 20, it explains, actually the verse 20 is an explanation of why twos or threes. What is explanation? Here it is. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. What is the point of two and three? Okay, please listen to me. Because only with two or three can you create something called a midst. Now, with me standing here, there's no midst. M-I-D-S-T. No midst. Am I right? Just me. And with two, there's a beginning of a midst. But with three, it's even a better midst. You see what I'm saying? You say, why is the midst important? Why? Well, it's in this verse. Why? Because that midst is where the Lord can land. That's his helipad, you know? When there's no midst, the Lord has no landing spot. But whenever there's a midst, in the right condition, right, in one accord, and gather into his name, all of this, the Lord says what? I am there. You know, I just right here remember in John 20, you know, the night they were all gathered after resurrection day in the upper room. It says what? The Lord was in their midst. Two times, you know, a week later, you know, Thomas missed that one, you know, a week later, it says the Lord came to their midst. That is the Lord's answer to this promise. In resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit, so he can be with the disciples wherever and whenever. But it takes two or three. And you know this being in the midst is probably the greatest promise we have from the Lord in the New Testament. It's called Emmanuel. Three times this is mentioned in Matthew, chapter 1, chapter 28, and here in verse 18. So, dear brothers and sisters, with twos or threes, we have the presence of the Lord. We even have the economical presence of the Lord. Personally, I have His essential presence, each one separately, don't we? But it takes two or three to create a midst to enjoy His economical presence. And I think many of us have that experience. When I'm with my brother, two or three, praying, there's something in another realm that is at another level. Okay, all this speaking is because we like to promote this practice, a renewed practice of twos or threes, not twos and threes, it's twos or threes in the church life. That apart from the church meetings, which we all attend, and even apart from the groups, you know, home groups or group meetings that we belong to, let us consider practicing the twos or threes in a regular basis. Now, who are these two or three? Of course, they are members in the Lord's body, members of the church. But I like to use some words, some new words, to describe the two or three. Twos or threes, it's kind of three words. Or twos or threes, it's hard to say, right? I like to call it a team, not a group. I like to call it a team. You know, team, group is a group. But team always implies purpose, right? You form a team for what? Well, a sports team, you know, there's a purpose. We need a lot of little teams in our church life. Even within a small group, you need small teams within it. Each one of us is like a cell, a single cell. But a single cell doesn't do much. You need to have a few cells together. Then you begin to create an organ, right? Now, the twos or threes is a team. You say, what kind of team? What kind of team? I would say, according to this chapter, it is a gospel team. Yeah, it's a gospel team. It is a shepherding team. It's a rescue team. Huh? Search and rescue team. It's a rescue team. It's a recovery team. Do I make sense? How do we go and preach the gospel to save the sinners, to contact people? Even the Lord sent them two by two to the villages. So, brothers and sisters, find your team. Find your team. Don't operate individually. Find at least one more or two more. You say, can we have four, please? Well, I don't think we're that legal, right? But you say six. Well, that's not two or three. That's really, it's another thing. For me, six is the beginning of a small group. And I'll talk about that later on. So this morning, I'm not talking about small group. I'm talking about a subset of the small group. It's called a small team. Such a small team has the beauty of, number one, flexibility. Number two, mobility. Number three, intimacy. Number four, mutuality. All these things are found in the twos and threes. So find the two and three. So let's talk a bit about who are the, well, let me finish first. So the second thing about these twos and threes are what I would call them, they are partnerships. They're not just a team, they are partnerships. Partnerships, again, for a certain enterprise, for a certain goal to achieve. And in this case, when I say partnership, I go to the second section of my sharing, and that is the matter of prayer. These two or three is a prayer partnership. They are partners in prayer. So here it is. Look at this way. These twos and threes is a team, a rescue team, a gospel team, a shepherding team, a recovery team, to care for people, to save people, to bring people to the Lord, to help people, right? And here is what? Is the prayer that is so much needed for the carrying out of that purpose. Prayer partners. This is a partnership of prayer, of asking, of intercession, of supplication, in order to carry out that work of rescue and restoration. I like to see in Northern California a revive, renew practice of this in all the local churches. Now, let's talk about who is my partner. Who is my team? Well, let's start with this. A very normal team is a couple. Am I right? Yeah. It's a very logical and very normal one. But sometimes the couple may have one more single person joining them. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And then it should be better, more convenient. It's more healthy, I would say, besides spouses, that when you have twos or threes, that we will keep it to brothers with brothers and sisters with sisters. It is just, except in the case you may have a couple with a single. But other than that, it is better that the brothers are with the brothers and sisters with the sisters, for obvious reasons. The young people, even the young people should practice this in high school. They become companions, spiritual companions, to pursue the Lord, to preach the gospel, to care for their friends. Yeah, all those things in Ecclesiastes kick in. Holding up one another, warming up each other, fighting together. I needed companions all my church life. No one of us, especially when we are talking about serving, preaching the gospel, carrying out the Lord's work, Twos and threes. College age, they can do it. But today I'm not talking about the young people. I'm talking about us here. So you can have just two brothers who are retired, or two sisters who are retired. You have the time. Then you can just band together. I'm not joking. Even if there are two or three saints like this in a senior's home, they can be twos and threes in that senior's home to preach the gospel. I really mean that. Or two brothers, you're still working in the same building in downtown San Jose. Why couldn't you too become partners and team so that the Lord's gospel and testimony can come out of you? Why not? Two mothers or grandmothers in the same neighborhood can be together. And not only so, in myriads of ways, you can have this kind of a team formed. I remember when Brother Lee first promoted this and in what he called the vital groups, you know. Oh, there was great consternation on how to find my team member. And some after 1 year still haven't found it. So Brother Lee was frustrated. He thought it would just take 1 week, you know. It took some 1 year. In fact, some never found it because actually they don't want it. They want to be alone. Well, we need our private lives. We need our alone time. I'm not denying that. But I'm talking about carrying out the Lord's heart's desire in the church life in a proactive way, in an active way. You see, to bear fruit, to shepherd the lambs. Oh, it is the twos and threes. And by the way, as long as I remember, I promoted 5 books for you this weekend. And I went there. They said many of them are sold out already. I'm very happy to hear that. One of the most important ones is the one called All Ages for the Lord's Testimony. And the first a couple of chapters are on the ages in the book of Numbers. The last 2 or 3 chapters, you know what it's on? It's all on shepherding. All on caring for people. So here, this is our burden today. And in the second session, I will get into the matter of what do we do. But this session, I concentrate on how. And you'll be surprised. The how is the team. It's the partnership. To pray. And to go. To pray and to visit. To pray and to go. You may even go to another city, but go 2 by 2 or 2s and 3s. Only that is effectual. You may visit a new one. It's better to have another one with you. I call this the smallest Christian community, 2s or 3s. The smallest Christian community. And please go and read the footnote in this chapter. Brother Lee talked about that. That's how the believers met in the early church, from house to house. 2s and 3s. Right. Now, eventually, these 2s and 3s may grow because you're bringing someone in. And it start to grow. That's okay. And these 2s or 3s can quite flexibly in time multiply. These 2s or 3s are not fixed like I am your team member forever and ever. Amen. No. I can even have several 2s and 3s. Depending. With this brother, we're taking care of this one. With that brother, I'm taking care of that situation. Do you see what I'm saying? But on the other hand, it should not be just touch and go. There should be a formation with deliberateness to have this team. Now, I would like to suggest for those of us who have the time or are retired, and as some brothers say, last night we read in the first verse, the 50 and above are retired. But thank the Lord for the next verse. In the next verse, we are rehired. You know the verse on taking the charge, keeping the charge? So we're retired from that official duty, but we're immediately rehired to keep the charge, the 50 and above. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the job. There is a great need in the recovery, in the church life everywhere today, for the gospel, and for to save sinners, to bring sinners to Christ, and a great need for shepherding these young believers in the Lord to be established. And there's also a great need to recover the lost saints, the saints who have backslidden, the saints who have been away. I bet there's a lot even that you know. If we can recover them, the church will have also quite an increase. When Brother Lee went back to Taiwan, that was almost the first kind of people he looked for. And that is nameless, but not in the church life, in the meetings. He said it will be great if it take you 3 years to recover a saint. It's well worth it. And it takes 2 to 3 years to bear a remaining fruit. That's well worth it. But let us do it in twos and threes. So find that team. Find those partners. And I say, don't be so picky. Don't exercise your, you see, old preferences. Just according to the Lord's arrangement, the Lord's leading. And come together firstly to pray. To pray. And specifically pray, not just for your own condition, but pray for the gospel. Pray for the need of the saints. Pray for the church. I say, if you can, some of these may come together for a little bit because of they have time every day. Every day. Some who may not have the time, 2 times, 3 times a week. Some, they can only do it once a week, still do it. During lunch break from your job. Am I right? Sisters, in some afternoon, when you're both in the park with another mother. Full-timers, they should all be in teams of two. We call them gospel partners in FTTA. And it is in these twos and threes we will also learn the lesson of blending, of dying to our individualism and to learn to coordinate with one another. What a salvation. But don't forget, this 2 and 3 is not for 2 or 3 of you to just look at each other and just read a life study and go home. You may do that. The Lord will lead you. Some may even want to do that with some spiritual pursuit. That is a great, great thing if you can do that. But it has a purpose. According to Matthew 18, it is for outreach, for fruit bearing, and also for shepherding. All this is to fulfill God's heart's desire. The need in the church life today. Did you get that? I know I'm taking the whole time, an hour and a half, leaving no time for you to testify. We'll leave time for you in the last meeting to respond to all these messages. Please pray for this. Please go and begin to practice this. We're going to stop now and start to memorize Psalm 92 while you're drinking tea, huh? Memorize, and memorize with two or three is the best way. You just spur each other on, okay? Is there any announcements? Please. She prayed for what? For the family. She prayed for all her grandchildren, including me. I almost could recite her prayer like the Lord's Prayer. Every time he's praying for the same thing. That means every time praying for me. You know. And my siblings and my cousins. This is what she does. She says, hold my hand and say, Minoru, believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Obey the Lord. And her big thing, you know, is this famous verse in Joshua, as for me and my house, you know that one? We will serve the Lord forever or something. That's the her motto. And so she wants all of us. So one by one, to the man, we believed in the Lord. So there's something about age that you can make people believe in the Lord, whether they like it or not. Because you have clout, you know. You have gravitas. You have, well, make use of it. Make use, flaunt your age to get someone out of the lake of fire. Flaunt your age to get someone to receive eternal life. And he does, not just to me, he does it in the trams, in the bus. I saw her in action. Just because if it's an old lady, everyone is like this, you know. Believe in Jesus. We go to the market and these people selling vegetables, the track, believe in Jesus. Don't go to hell. Yeah. Because she's the patron, you know. She paying you to buy the vegetables, so they have to say yes. Well, I'm not joking, brothers and sisters. Don't think we are too old to preach the gospel. We are just in time. Amen. To preach the gospel. Amen. I think you go to the campus, at least they see the gray hair, they will at least, they may not like you, but they have to have a little deference there. And you make use of that, your age, and just tell him, you know. Young people cannot, their peers cannot tell them that you can say a few words. Brothers and sisters, oh, the gospel. We are in a prime time, prime age, to preach the gospel. Especially where a lot of us are free. What are your time for? Your time is for preaching the gospel. What else? What else? Oh, absolutely, we all can shepherd. Shepherd the saints. My, I tell you, we have, many of us are quite constituted with the truth. I mean, after 20 years here, at least it rubs off a little bit, right? So we have the word, we have the experience in the church life, we have some measure of growth in life. We can shepherd. They're young. They just need some old people to tell them a few things and turn them to the Lord. And we may not have profound messages, but I tell you, we just have some experience of Christ. I tell you, shepherd everyone, especially those younger than us. We got little kids, we got young people, we got college age, we got working saints, all of our target, all our objects of our shepherding. Just pick up a few in the church where you are. Pick them up and shepherd them on a regular basis. They will remember you. It says in the Old Testament, again and again, that we should what? we should what? We should proclaim God to the next generation. The old ones should proclaim God to the next generation. We should recount God's mighty works to the next generation. We should tell the next generation about the Lord. Our children, our young people, we just tell them. They don't know. They're not so assured in their faith. But we are established. We've been through it. Tell them. Tell them what happened with you. Tell them your church life. Tell them how the Lord was gracious to you. Tell them how the Lord saved you in that instance. They will benefit from that. It is an accumulation of these recollections, these proclamations, that their faith will be established by the older and the senior ones. Oh, this is a huge need. Brothers as fathers, sisters as mothers, the exhorting and testifying fathers, and the what? And the nourishing and cherishing mothers. We need more fathers and more mothers in the church life today more than any time before in this country. Don't look down on yourself, brothers and sisters. There's tons of people with their mouth open for you to feed. You know, talking about the gospel, you said, I couldn't do much. I'm just kind of frail. I tell you, even at home, you can call. You can write letters. You can, well, maybe you can send an email if you know email. You can send them tracts. You can do all kinds of things as an older person. Really, too much we can do. What else? What else can we do? What else can we do? We can what? We can open our home. You know, by this time, you know, we have a little bit of a financial stability, right? A little bit. And so we have a home, a house, whatever. I tell you, open the homes. Whether you open your home for a meeting or not, you can open the home to invite the saints, and especially young people, to be hospitable. I can never, never stop talking about Brother Eugene Grula Sr. and Sister Caroline Gruler, who in the Eldon days when I was a kid, I was 19, 20 years old, and this Brother Gruler does not even speak English well. He's probably first generation German, his thick German accent. I can see him right now with his bushy hair, bushy eyebrows, and this kind of beaky nose, and short, stocky, with this thick German voice. He could never give a good testimony in the church life, you know. You don't hear him in the meetings. Then, on Sundays, on Lord's Day, he would invite some young people like us to his home, to their home. And Sister Karen Gruler would cook up this wonderful English meal. She's English and he's German. And I think I'm correct. And after the meal, in my case, all the young ones, the few other invitees, they left, and I was left there. So to this day, I still remember the picture. It was a Lord's Day afternoon, probably in fall. There was this low sun coming through the windows, through the lace curtains, and washing the whole living room there. So just tiny little apartment on Westmoreland Avenue, you know, right across from Brother Lee's apartment, just right across the street. It's a tiny little apartment, but very English, very, you know, very old-fashioned, all of that stuff. So I was sitting there, and he was sitting there across from me, Brother Grueler on his chair, whatever. And I forgot all the things he said, except this one thing. Except this one thing. In his bushy, steely eyes, kind of like a burn a hole in me, you know. Just look at me with all seriousness at one point of the conversation, saying, "My brother, God today is still waiting for one man who is fully consecrated to him." That I can never forget. That turned out to be a quote of a word that a Christian spoke to D.L. Moody in the Keswick Convention when D.L. Moody was still a shoe salesman and went to England and connected with these inner life people or that movement, and that word was given to him. And that word changed his life. He came back and gave up and started to serve the Lord, and the rest was history. And he quoted that verse to me. I have to hold back my tears even now. That no message, no doctrine, no nothing, but just an old man with a deep burden for a young brother and giving him that word. And let me tell you, that word just reverberated in me until today. And I love to give this testimony to young people, to speak that same word to them. God today is still waiting for one man. He said, not many. And when he spoke to me, I know who he's talking to. He's talking to me. You. He's still waiting for that one person who would consecrate everything to the Lord. So I have to go back and deal with the Lord and consecrate myself again. We need more Brother Gruelers. We need more Sister Gruelers. We need more houses open, homes open. A word of the season, as it says in Isaiah, that can minister to the hearts at the appointed time. Brothers and sisters, open your home, serve the saints, and care for them. And give, and give, and give. Monetarily, spiritually, materially, physically. Be hospitable and give to the saints. Give your love to the saints. The church needs a lot of love. A lot of love. Now, one last thing I would say, and I must be done. I'm sorry I spoke so long. At least it's not midnight yet. Okay. And one more thing is you can migrate. Migrate. Don't think migration is a young man's thing. No, no. Migration is for the old people. You know, today a lot of these old people, after they retire, the next thing is they buy a Winnebago, right? Whatever. Just cruise across the country and have a good time. Same principle. I tell you, there is really a life after 50. You haven't seen this country yet. This country is beautiful. It's not just the Bay Area, you know. It's a lot of, you know, I travel a lot. I get to see a lot of this country. You have a burden to migrate. I encourage you to. You don't know where to go, come to me. I have a list of cities that you can go and check them out and find the one you like and go through fellowship, through prayer, going to the Lord's leading. And there's a bunch of them even around here in Northern California that you can not go there and just, you know, boss things around. No, you go there and just be this kind of older brother and sister, this plant, this palm tree, this cedar of Lebanon, planted in the courts of the Lord, full of sap and green. You just go and bear fruit. You don't need all of this other things, but you can be there. Keep the charge. Open your home and take care of so many young and new ones. We just need, I tell you, on the average, two such couples or three. We can start a church life. But without these couples, you can have young people, they're great, they're wonderful, you cannot start a church life. And when you anchor down a church life with the gray hair factor, so much the better. So GTCA cities, a new spread, is not the domain, exclusive domain of the young. It's ours. It's yours. And I've seen many who have done this, and goodness, they are busy and happily busy. And I thank the Lord they moved and migrated, because without them, that church would not have, it wouldn't have happened. No way. No way. All right? I'm done for tonight. I'm so happy. Okay, I think that's a lot for you to digest. It's quite late already. I think we better have some announcement. How about we have a little prayer with each other?